こんばんは。Good evening. I have to make one apology. After we were fellowshipping after the message last night, not one, not two, several people say, hey, what about that third location? Well, I forgot. I forgot to tell you it's coming up in this message. So we'll, you know, I've told some people that oftentimes I make mistakes in Japan using the wrong kanji and so on. But in every case, it seems like almost ordered of the Lord, because the Lord seemed like he wanted to focus on something. So maybe the Lord really wants to focus on this third location. Let's pray. Our beloved Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you've done for each one of us. Lord, we just find our days full of sighings. We're just so overwhelmed with your goodness to us. Constantly asking ourselves a question. We know the answer, but we still ask it. Lord, why did you choose me? Lord, what caused you, what was in your mind when you decided that we would belong to you? And so, Lord, these times together like this are really a celebration of what you've done for us. We speak these truths, we participate in fellowship together in these truths, and we rejoice together in these truths because of what you've done. Thank you, Lord, so much for this body of believers that understand that you've caused to give us understanding. So, Lord, we are hopeful and we anticipate that you will once again bless each one of us. And, Lord, that you would apply your truth to your children. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, let's review a little bit. It's tricky when you're in a series like this because it tends to get disjointed. Remember, we first focused on our Lord Jesus Christ. We brought the focus on him as the Lord of all cultures. And then it stands to reason the next one would be that we take our position behind him and learn of him. See his representation of us to the Holy Father. Listen to that prayer. Rejoice in not so much the prayer for us as that mysterious and wonderful relationship that he has, that perfect relationship that he has with his Father. And then after we've been behind him as long as we should be, he turns around and grabs us and brings us to the front. He said, now it's time for you to come to me. Fellowship with me. Keeping that in mind, let's begin to look at this third spiritual geographical location. The believer is constantly exercised about his own faithfulness as a Christian. Perhaps like me, you ask, am I doing those things that I should as a believer? Are those around me seeing what they should see? With so much wickedness surrounding me, will my faithfulness hold up? It is within the context of this daily struggle that perhaps we overlook, or at worst, forget a vital truth which, if we would call to mind, would greatly encourage us. Let me begin by drawing your attention to the profound phrase that we find in Colossians 3:3. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. In the ESV, or the English Standard Version New Testament, the two words in Christ appear 89 times. The two words in him referring to Christ also appear countless times. Does that mean it's important? Yes. Christ speaking to the disciples in John 15 expounds on the importance of abiding in him. This then is the believer's third and spiritual geographical location, in him. Behind him, before him, in him. It is a common and comforting knowledge among believers that if we are asked, or if we were asked, where is your spiritual location? We would quickly answer, in Christ. And yet a question remains. Do we understand the practical implications of being in Christ? Do we know how it plays out, or how it should play out in our lives? Let me give you a simple analogy. Probably this week, we will go grocery shopping. And when we go around the aisles, we'll fill up a bag full of groceries. Well, if we just stay and look at that for a moment. First, there is a gathering in. And secondly, we know that whoever has that is the possession of the holder. And we see the right of purchase. Whoever's holding that bag of groceries, that belongs to them. They've purchased it. And, in a sense, there's protection and safety for the items in there. At a time when we were not a people, God in his mercy gathered us up into the person of Christ. As a result, God possesses us in Christ. By the purchasing blood of Christ, he holds title to our being. Thus, he entitles our protection and safety in Christ. As our previous lives were on the outside of Christ, now, in him, we live and move and have our being. You see, if you're really wanting to learn about the faithfulness of Christ, you have to first understand what it means to be in him. How often have we forgotten as we plod through this earthly desert that the faithfulness demanded of us is in essence a borrowed or imitated faithfulness of Christ. You are not your own, 1 Corinthians says. Romans says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. The believer, no matter how long he has been a saint, yet is incapable of daily manufacturing faithfulness. No wonder we get discouraged. No wonder our incapability presses down upon us. The scriptures call to faithfulness in living the Christian life does not assume ability. Let me give an example here. Many people of the Arminian persuasion, they assume just because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's assuming ability. No, it's just proclaiming responsibility. There's nothing in there that talks about ability. It's just saying, do this. We can't assume that we can believe the Lord Jesus Christ because the Bible says it, or that we can respond to what the Bible says. It is simply stating our responsibility. These calls should in every case cause us to swoon at the feet of our faithful Lord. Studying and getting acquainted with his faithfulness, trusting all the while that he will enable us to execute it. Now, I've chosen Psalm 91 as the passage for this evening. Let's look at this psalm together. And we'll read it as we go through this message. We'll read it verse by verse. Verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. This first phrase is a very, very key phrase. It begins by saying, he who dwells, you're going to see such and such and such and such characteristic. In my notes, I color code things just to help me remember what I want to emphasize. Anytime in the New Testament where there's action pertaining to a soul, he does this or does this. In this case, it dwells. I've highlighted it in blue, which for me emphasizes the work of the Holy Spirit. Anytime there's action, a doing thing. For example, when we go to verse 2, it says, I will say. That's through the help of the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit at work. And then when we go to verse 9, I have made. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, hold fast. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Anytime we move towards the Lord, that's the function of the Holy Spirit enabling us. And then the last one would be, knows my name. Anyone, those who know, or because they know my name. And this again is the work of the Holy Spirit. So having said that, now let's go back to verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. First of all, just as a human, let's define shelter. And we could probably go to the dictionary and get a good definition of it. It's protection, a roof, a place, a refuge to run and hide. That's how the unbeliever would define shelter. Now, as a Christian, how would you define shelter? That's simple. It's defined by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we look at this psalm, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. This shelter is just not some concept. It's just not a fuzzy feeling, well, we're protected. No, I don't think so. I think this is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And for us, we know that. Our hearts witness that. Before we talk of our faithfulness or faithful living, we must focus first on what the regenerated believer should daily be striving to do. If someone were to ask you, what do you think you should be daily striving to do? If we look at this psalm, it is a conscious taking up residence in the shelter of the Most High. Let me say that again. It is a conscious taking up residence in the shelter of the Most High. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. I believe it's speaking here not just the state that a person is in, but I believe it's talking about a soul that desires, that intends, that's making a conscious effort, if you will, to take up residence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps Paul expresses this dwelling and abiding best in his letter to the Philippians. In order that I might gain Christ, and listen to this, and be found in him. not having a righteousness of my own. You see, for Paul, the ultimate important thing was if someone were to be looking for him, and I think probably he's speaking of how God would view him, that he might be discovered to be in Christ, in that third spiritual location. And that's really our desire, isn't it, as Christians? We always desire to be found in Christ. If we are to find courage and comfort in the faithfulness of Christ, we must first confirm that we are taking up residence in his person. And please don't get me wrong. This is not an Arminian idea. It's talking to believers that the Holy Spirit has already finished his work. It's talking to people that the miracle of salvation has been performed. But in this earthly life, we constantly battle to be found in Christ. It's our desire to be consumed by him. It is only from this third spiritual geographical location that we can then go on to verse 2 and know for certain that though this psalm was penned by an unknown writer long ago, yet they are our words. They are very familiar and personal to each believer because our location in Christ has qualified us to take these words as our own. Do we visit the shelter of the Most High just on occasion? Or have we taken up daily residence in the shelter of the Most High? Are you content to abide in his shadow? Walk through the divine residence. Take time to absorb all the beautiful decorations of his excellencies. Then take courage and embrace the remaining confessions as your own in Christ. Then you will say with the psalmist, verse 2, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, and my God, in whom I trust. Do you see it? The characteristic of he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, this is what he says. Those who are intending to take up residence in Christ daily will find themselves repeating this over and over again. And it's interesting. I will say to the Lord. He directs his prayer to the Lord. Now I emphasized my, but really the emphasis should be on these names. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, he in whom I trust. Before the psalmist talks below about what it is to be gained through this shelter, through the four revealing titles, he gives the reader a character study. Too often we get in a hurry to see and experience what the Lord will do for us instead of who he is. What will we say to God about himself before we say anything of breadcrumbs? So we emphasize God is my refuge. It's a character study. This tells us the character of God, the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my fortress. It's a name for God. He's my God. I need no other deity. He's the one in whom I trust. So those who are dwelling in the shelter of the Most High God will say these things. It's a character that comes. It's a characteristic that comes with those dwelling in the shelter of the Most High. Verse 1 taught us the blessed importance of dwelling in our shelter. Consequently, the first visible result will be that the first words that escape from our mouth will be all about His person, to His person. You know, it's interesting because how often the Christian tells God what he already knows. But we continue to do it. And it seems like we find our greatest joy telling God about God. There's something that we really can't understand. Why? He already knows it. But in the heart of a believer that he's changed, that he's in a very miraculous way changed, there is something in that makeup, that new person, that is only satisfied with a song that tells God about God. It's a real mystery. And we do this before we even talk about the benefits that we graciously obtain. It's a natural bent that the human first looks at what he got instead of the character of the giver. And this point I'm repeating through this series. No wonder our faithfulness is so weak and wobbly. Once we have said all we should say to God about Himself, we are now ready to move on to all the blessed benefits that flow from His person to His own. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Adam and Eve were snared. The serpent set a trap by asking four questions. But those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High God, those who dwell in Christ, never again will be snared. Oh. That is very encouraging, because often we feel, oh, I've been snared again. And from the deadly pestilence, a killing disease, never again. Those who dwell with the Lord Jesus Christ. I know we're beset with weakness. And it seems like the reality of life oftentimes would turn this upside down. But this is what comes with dwelling, taking up residence in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if we spent more time taking up residence in Christ than avoiding the snare, we'd be okay. But perhaps we take too much time avoiding the snare instead of taking up residence in Christ. In verse 4, what else? He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge. And it's interesting, the next phrase is probably the key phrase in this psalm. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. It's not our faithfulness. It's not how well we live the Christian life, how faithful we are. Sometimes we try to pull up that shield and buckler of our faithfulness and put too much trust in it. But it says His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night. What's the terror of the night? It's unexpected temptations, unexpected sin, something you never expected. Nor the arrow that flies by day. Not too long ago, it was just the terror of the night, the terrors of the night. But now, in our country, those arrows are flying by day. No longer is sin hidden. It's a daylight attack. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. And the next verse says, you will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. These pestilences, this kind of destruction, these things that stalk the believer may come right up to our doorstep. And I'm sure that the believers here in the U.S. have a real sense of this. It just seems it's so pervasive, so close. But the closest that it will come is that you'll see it. That's all. And then from verse 9 to the end, we have three great becauses. That's probably not an English word, but three great becauses. I guess I have a little bit of license to do that because I can speak Japanese. But yeah, three great becauses. And notice again, because you, what is he doing there? Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. We could say in parentheses, because you, my soul. Do you see what's going on here? This psalmist is speaking to himself. Oh. Because you, my soul, have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. That's why it's a taking up of residence. And it can only be done, of course, with the help of the Holy Spirit. And yet, there's a conscious taking up residence in the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of my days have been protected where I got up in the morning and I consciously took up residence in the Lord Jesus Christ? And how many of my days didn't go as smoothly when I didn't do that? Because you, my soul, have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. Though faith claims no merit of its own, yet the Lord rewards it wherever he sees it. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. Verse 10, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Again, let's retrace. What is the reason for all this? It's dwelling in the shelter of the Most High. It's dwelling with the Lord Jesus Christ. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion. Strength. The strength of wickedness. And the adder, deceit. Adam and Eve were deceived by the serpent, weren't they? You will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion, one commentator says, growing strength. The growing strength of the enemy. And it really seems to be growing these days. You will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. This is expressive of those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High God. Remember, we are hidden in Christ. The shelter of the Most High God. I perceive this is the Lord Jesus Christ. In our experience as Christians, we would quickly define shelter not from Webster, but from what the Holy Spirit has taught us. And we gladly call the Lord Jesus Christ our shelter. We flee to Him daily. And that's where we find our hope. That's where we find our peace. And it's His faithful ministry to us rather than our faithfulness that we desire. Verse 14 is the second because. Because He holds fast to me in love. I can't take a lot of time on this because this has to do with my last sermon, but we need to chew on it a little bit. It's not just a matter of being with Christ or being in Him, but hold fast. We know what that means. It means not turning loose. And what is it? What are the hands of this hold fast? Because here you see, to hold fast, you have to have a hand to do it. You have to be able to grab something. So for this hold fast, what is the hand? It's love. It's love to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. Who's the him? Those who dwell in the shelter of the Almighty. I will protect him. Because, the third because, He knows my name. When we are holding fast onto the Lord Jesus Christ, that is just the result of the Holy Spirit working within us. This is not a psalm about what we do. Yes, there are things in here that seem to appear that way, but we know as believers that any good thing that I do as a Christian is the result of the Holy Spirit. I tell our Japanese believers, when you do something good as a Christian, it's God's fault. When you do something bad, it's your fault. He holds fast to me in love. I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. Wow. Have you ever wondered how you came to know the name of Christ? I don't mean historically in the history books. How you came to know him? There are many within the Christian community that will give us the impression that we are the first ones where a light came on and we first knew him. Do you realize how impossible that is? If you hold that position, you have to go to Ephesians and you have to tear out chapter 2. Not speaking of so many other passages. How can a dead person know the name of Christ? They know nothing. Perhaps I've used this example many years ago when I first went to Japan as a missionary. On the property, we have a missionary lady, Betty Bird, that passed away in 1960. And Dad got special permission to bury her, full burial. Over there, it's by law, it's cremation. And when I first got to Japan, I just had a sense I just wasn't quite understanding that there's nothing that we can do to cause ourselves to know the name of Christ. So I went and visited the grave of Betty Bird. understanding Ephesians and sitting there, no matter how much I thought, no matter how much I talked to her, no matter what I did, I could never cause her, or she could never cause herself, to become alive again. And that's the same message of Ephesians. How do we know the name of the Lord? Those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, because He knows my name. Wow, it has to be the Holy Spirit. We gladly embrace the creation of Adam. But why is it that we don't embrace the creation of a new soul? God spoke to the dirt, let there be a man. God speaks to the sinner, let there be a Christian. It's the same. Because He knows my name. Have you rejoiced in that fact? That you know the name of the Lord, not as the cause, but as a target of God's grace. Because He knows my name, when He calls to me, I will answer. You see, the Lord must answer. Because He is the one that causes us to know His name. He is the one that causes us to hold fast to Him. He is the one that causes us to make Him our dwelling place. So the Lord, in order to be truthful or faithful to Himself, He must answer those who call. Do you ever doubt it as a Christian? That, yeah, I'll continue to call, but I doubt that He will really answer me. See, if you do, you've got it wrong. The Lord must answer you. Why? Because we're cute? Because we're fun? No. Because God has a reputation to uphold. And how does He uphold His reputation? It's by being faithful to His people. Those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High. Those who are taking up residence daily in the Lord Jesus Christ. And not looking to their faithful living, not looking to their faithfulness, but being so immersed into the Lord Jesus Christ that everything we do, it's borrowed. When He calls to me, I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will rescue Him and honor Him. With long life, I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. And each of us have already experienced this. I'm not telling you anything new. I'm seeing many of you nod your heads. You know. It's the witness of the Holy Spirit. But we have to be reminded, don't we? We have to have the Holy Spirit once again bring our focus to the Lord Jesus Christ, or else we get so discouraged because of what's happening to our country. Dear Christian, do you doubt your Redeemer, Savior and Lord's faithfulness to you? If so, then count how many times He appears in this short verse. When He calls to me, I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will rescue Him and honor Him. With long life, I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. How often we find this principle in the Bible. It must be because as humans we are so dull that the Lord has to repeat these wonderful things over and over and over again. Let the number be witness to His ever-presence in your life. You see, it's really not about our faithfulness as much as it is about His faithfulness flowing through our veins. Give up on manufacturing faithfulness. Realize that the transfusion of His blood carries the very benefits that you are attempting to duplicate. We've started by grace. Why then do we go back to effort? Why do we go to the law? So recapping, our first spiritual geographical location is taking up residence behind our Lord Jesus Christ and being satisfied to be there. And not getting away from that study desk, if you will, and learning of Him before anything comes your way, learning of Christ in that special relationship that He has with the Father. In fact, that will get so comfortable and so wonderful that it will be very hard to go to the next spiritual location. Yeah, but it's so nice here. I can study my Lord. I can rejoice in who He is. But the Lord reached back and says, time for you to come. How often Dad did that to me. When I'd be fearful in approaching Dad and I'd come from the backside, He'd reach His hand around and say, come, come in front. And then that sweet fellowship, being before Him. But when it gets the sweetest, is when we finally take up that residence in Him. That's where we're kept, we're protected. For us Christians, that's why we believe we define shelter as the Lord Jesus Christ. We must ask the question, are we taking up daily residence in the Lord Jesus Christ? And rejoicing in His faithfulness, in His character. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, oh Lord, how little we know. But Lord, we ask You, and we are asking is based on what You've already done for us, that You will enable us to dwell in the shelter of the Most High God. Lord, You have already placed us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, help us daily to take up residence and be happy to be in Him. Thank You, Lord, for Your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.